I'd appreciate your prayers. I want to look at a scripture in Daniel. Now, suppose if I was going to title the message, I think I would title it Emotional Baggage. You know, we're just humans, and things affect us. And we can be affected by things even if we don't want to be affected by things. It's pretty common to have the things around you affect you in some way or another. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you had a disagreement with someone over something, and it could even be trivial to some point, but you talk about it after a while, and you maybe even it gets a little hotter than you'd want it to get, more passionate, you may say. And it really doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Maybe even at the end of it, there might even be some, I'm sorry, I got too passionate. But you go away and you feel different. You feel bad about, you have a conversation that you just don't feel good about. Or maybe somebody said something to you, and it's not that you're overly sensitive, you care about that kind of stuff, but they say something that you just don't think they should have said. Maybe it hurt a little bit, and then it's hard for you to think of that person the way you used to. That's all just human stuff, and it's real, and it can affect our lives. It can affect the way we act and what we do. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he came to make us whole. He came to give us a power that's bigger than ourselves. We're to lean upon that. We're to believe in it. We're to place ourselves in it. Lord, I recognize that I'm a human and that I have these things, and I need your help. It's possible to carry baggage around for a long, long time. It's possible to carry baggage from your old life. It's possible to have feelings and things and certain ways about you that stays with you for a long, long, long time. But maybe sometimes if we don't ever become aware of it, we can have it all of our life, and it can be a detriment to us. It can hurt us in life and hurt others, those kind of things. I have a little dog at home, and his name's Laser. And Laser, I don't know, we must have that dog 10 or 11 years. He's getting to be an old dog. And every time that I mow, it scares that dog. I'll come by with the mower, and the dog will run out the end of his line. He'll drop his ears, and he'll try to pull out of his collar. And every time I see that, I think, you've been doing that for 10 years. Every time I mow, and I have to mow at least once a week through the summertime, and I do this once a week all summer long, and this dog still does that every time, he's afraid of the mower. Well, every time I see that, I would think that after 10 years of lunging to the end of the line, after 10 years of that mower never hurting him, it never slings anything at him, it never hurts him, nothing ever happens, you would think after 10 years that the dog wouldn't be worth it to get up and run to the end of the line. But that's not what he does. He's afraid of that. It's there. Whatever's in there is in there. Never been nothing trained out of it or nothing like that. He's just got a fear. Well, he's just a dog, but I'm making a point. You can take things from your childhood that hinders your relationships and hinders your life and hinders your relationship with the Lord and how you function in life, and you can take that baggage all the way through your life when the Lord wants to deal with that. Wants to do something about that situation in life. And he's big enough to do it. I want to testify today, he's big enough to do it. If for some reason the Lord wants to leave that in your life for a prayer, that's up to God. It ain't up to me. But I'm just telling you, God's big enough to take care of the issues that we have in life. Well, there's a scripture over here in Daniel. I'd like to pick up some thoughts with it. The third chapter. I think I'll start reading about 16 maybe. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Well, maybe I'll just fill it in. I think everybody knows the story, but fill it in. Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image. He's the king of Babylon, and he sets up an image, and they make a decree to it that they're going to play these instruments and all. Everybody's going to bow down and worship, and that's the setting by this. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. They bowed to nobody but God. So when they did it, when the instruments played and all, then they didn't bow. This is then the king's dealing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they answered and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they would heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that there were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and king's counselors, being together, saw these men upon the bodies of fire, had no power, and was, I'm sorry, whose body the fire had no power, and was the, and no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Well, that's quite a story. True story. And not even the smell of smoke was on. Well, that's interesting because obviously there wasn't no concern to them about whether they'd smell like smoke or not, was there? I mean, come on, it was the fire that was the problem. They was worried about being burned up. You know, we go through trials sometimes, and sometimes they're hot trials. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes this is whether I'm going to make heaven or not. Sometimes I've got, you know, this is a battle of what I'm going to do, right and wrong. This is what we're concerned about, generally about. I mean, to be thrown into a fire, the king never said, you know, throw some good wet wood in there and get a good smoke going, because I'm going to show these guys, I'm going to make them smell like smoke. We're just going to smoke them up till everywhere they go, somebody's going to say, "Well, it smells like you guys was a in a barbecue. You guys are smoky. Like it would be a... The king wasn't trying to make them smoky. He was going to burn them up. And that's what these kind of trials do. But then why was this important? This is important because God wants us to know this did not touch them. They was faithful to God. And God didn't let them burn. It would have been don't you think it would have been a great miracle that if the men that threw them into that fire got so close to it that it slew them, it was so hot that it killed these guys, and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes out of there with their hair singed up a little bit and the garments were smoking, maybe burn a few places, and they come out of there like that, don't you think that'd still be a miracle? That would have been a notable miracle. Of course it would have been if they wouldn't have been down there like that and protected. But when they come out of there, their hair wasn't even singed. Their garments wasn't burned. And go so far to describe that they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. There is a total victory. Now you and I will face things sometimes in life. And many times we'll go through something, and especially relationship problems, where it's marriage difficulties or things like that, and we'll go through that, and there'll be a victory. We won't burn up in it. We will say, I'm sorry. We will do what we need to do. We might go to the altar. We might pray about that. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to keep the smell of smoke off of there. But the circumstances, a lot of times, will do something to us that'll go a long ways. It's hard to make a relationship the same after these kind of things because the smell of smoke's still there. There's something that happened in that thing that I can forgive, but boy, oh boy, I still smell something. There's still something in my heart. I can't look at that brother with the same confidence, or I don't look at it the same. Those things are human, they're natural, but there's still the smell of smoke. And a lot of times they'll hurt the way we do things in life because we naturally are going to hold on to a defense mechanism. We're going to hold on to something like that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have very well... I'm going to assume some of this if you give me liberty. But I don't think their attitude towards Nebuchadnezzar was different when they come out. But I don't think there was a smell of smoke on them that way either. I mean, they very well could have come out of there and said, you know, we're supposed to honor the king. We've been honoring him. God's taught us to honor the king. We honor the king. But now, behind secrets, he said, boy, he was sure stupid for doing it. That was crazy for him to do it. He's a terrible king. You could have run. Yeah, and you understand what I'm saying. They could have had a whole different attitude about things when they come out of there. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. I mean, he could have had a lot of emotions. This king made a decree, and he went ahead and prayed like he did aforetime. Remember the story? They threw him into the lion's den, and he got the victory. God gave him the victory. He didn't get eaten up by the lions. But God spared his attitude, too. God kept him with a good attitude. The lions didn't need him. Why not have a good attitude? Well, you're still down in the lion's den. You've still been treated bad. You've been looked at like you're a criminal. You've been run down. And what did Daniel do? He said, oh, king, live forever. He still had honor. Still king. The smoke wasn't on Daniel. He wasn't affected by that. And God wants to help us to be able to have a fuller victory. God can help us in all those kind of places. A few years ago, several years ago now, we was up in Wisconsin. Best I remember this was, we was up in Wisconsin and we decided we was going to go over and visit Norm and Camille before we left. So we all got ready so we was actually packed and ready to go, but we drove over to Minnesota to spend the day with them, so part of the day with them, so went over there. Well, right before we was getting ready to leave, I was with Norm, and it come time to milk. Well, he had a dairy barn, and it was time to milk, so he invited me to go with him to that, and I was just talking to him as he did. I didn't do any work or do anything. I was just there with him. And anybody that knows anything about this, he would bring the cows into the stalls and all of that. And the cows being cows and doing what cows do, I was continually kind of getting out of the way. I was already dressed and ready to go travel. And I felt like I missed everything pretty good. But I was in there for long enough to milk the whole thing, and I talked to them the whole time and stayed back as far as I could do. And a dairy barn has an odor to it. Naturally, it would. And, I could smell it pretty distinct. I could smell, it is just right at 1,200 miles, I think, from Norm's to my house. And I smelt that dairy barn for 1,200 miles. I'm telling you, I was saturated with odor from the dairy barn. I thought that I'd missed it. I thought that I had stayed away cautiously, carefully. I'd stayed out of all harm's way and all of that. And all the way home, I smelled like a dairy barn. There had to be some other process to happen to get that off. You can think the things don't affect you. I mean, several years ago, Brother Carl said something about, the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. He said, that's a lie if I ever heard it. It is a lie in this sense. Physically, you can't hurt me with words. And I would like to think that I'm a big enough person that your words don't going to change me and those kind of things. But I'll find that, I'll say this, in close relationships, in places where I build expectations, I have an expectation of a relationship. I believe that you care, or I believe that there's something there, and those kind of things. Words can hurt you. Words can make you feel something else. When you have an expectation, this person really cares for me, or this I have an expectation and I'm going to do something with it or something like that. They can be something that affects you and hurts you, and you can, and if you're not careful, you can want to defend yourself with that, or you can want to retaliate with it. Well, if they're going to do that, well, then I'll just do this. Probably everybody in here that's had any kind of relationship has been guilty of the old silent treatment thing. I'm not going to talk to you. Well, what's wrong? Well, what's that all about? I just want you to know that this is what this is about. I want you to know that you hurt me, right? I'm not satisfied. This is a relationship, and I don't. Whatever happened is not. This is not. I don't like this. And if you care, you're going to care that I'm silent. If you really care, there's an issue. You hear, and you know what this is? This is all baggage. It's all baggage. It's okay to, I'll say okay. I'll just say it my way. You can do that a little bit in your relationships, because relationships are to mend. Relationships are, if my wife ain't satisfied, I need to know that. If I ain't satisfied, she wants to know that, of course, because it's a working relationship. But if you have that stuff in your life and you carry it around this baggage all the time, it ain't going to work well for you. I want to tell you, it's going to be a rough time in your life with this emotional baggage that always fits that I've got to always have some attention about something. I've always got to hurt. You know, there's abuse situations in life. There's places in life to where things have been. Other dogs I've had, for instance. Brother Harlan's had a lot of dogs. He may know too. I've had dogs that were gun shy, noise shy, loud noise shy. I've had people say about, you can do this to break them, you can do that. The ones I had didn't seem like anything would break them from that. If you had a dog, well, I usually like to have hunting dogs, so it's important for the dog to be friendly with a gunshot. And if, no matter how good of dog they was at trailing, chasing, barking, doing that, if they was afraid of a gun, they was worthless to you. Because whatever they got, you couldn't get, because you'd scare your dog off every time you did. But the dog would have an emotional problem, and if a car backfired, I had a dog that if a car backfired, he would run so far in under the house, you couldn't get him out. He would go as far as he could. We would be there in the yard, and just now the lightning would flash and a thunder, big thunder boom, and that dog would run so far in under the house, and he'd stay under there until he felt better. He was so afraid of those kind of things that it affected. You want to know what I'm saying? It affected. We can have things in our lives, the smell of smoke on us, of things that happen to us in life that keeps us from functioning. A man that thought duties can't run under the house every time there's a loud noise. I mean, it might feel good, but you can't run from problems. You can't get away from them all the time. You can't use that situation. There's things that happens in people's childhood sometimes that sets them for the rest of their life. But I want to tell you today, God's big enough to keep us alive in the fiery furnace. But he's also big enough to keep the smell of smoke off of us. That we don't have to have these issues that come up in our lives. I want to mention an issue that is, it's a hard issue. There is people that are insecure. Insecurity is a tough issue. And insecurity can be fixed. God knows how to fix insecurity. I've seen him do it. I'm not in a boom and a bang, but in a process of things, God has healed and helped people with insecurity. Because when a person's insecurity, they'll run their partner to death. They'll expect too much that a human being can do. They'll expect emotional support. They'll expect all this stuff from their insecurity, and it will cause such an emotional, and a lot of times not even seen. But I want to tell you, God, you turn to God, give God, and he can heal that kind of place too. He can keep us alive in any kind of situation. But a lot of times when the battle's over, we're human. And there can be a lot of problems there that we're going to have to face. Things like, I mean, simple things. The illustration is, I mean, I remember one time a young girl. Well, I didn't have her license very long. She made a common error. I've seen a lot of young people do it in driving. She was driving along and her tire went off the pavement and onto the berm. And being not familiar with that, I'm not puffing myself up. I'm just saying that my children, the one thing that I pound into them, dropping your tire off isn't in the world. Don't get excited. I even make them do it. Here, go do it. Drive off, purposely do it. I want you to understand that's not, don't overreact with that. Well, it's a common mistake. Excited about, not secure about your driving. They drop off, they jerk their wheel. Almost always overplay, and they do exactly what you shouldn't do because they jerk the wheel, and then if they overplay it, the next response is to do that. You know how bad it is to be driving at a speed and do that? As fast as she can. It's the very worst thing you can do. But it's what they do. And she got out of control and put the car down over the hill. And the Lord spared her. But she wrecked the car. And she said, I'm done. I'm not driving no more. I understand that. Scared. I understand that I'm not confident. I understand that. But it ain't going to work well for you in your life. Your husband. And everything else for you not to drive. Do you understand what I'm saying? That can be fixed, is what I'm saying. That's just a simple little illustration, because there's things that's much more detriment in life than just that. But that is an illustration of it, that has to be over. Those kind of things need to be overcome. There are things that happen in life, and they'll shock us sometimes. It gets in there, and it's emotional, very emotional. And I want to tell you, she drives today. But she had a hard time getting back to that as well as she should. But in our lives, God wants us, as the song said, I turned to Jesus and he made me whole. That's what the Lord wants to do, is to make us whole in our lives. I won't turn to it, but we'll pick up quite a bit of the story. Because it's one of the fascinating stories of the scriptures in the Old Testament, of what God does for people. But there was a young man in the Old Testament, you know the story. His name was Joseph. And the story is quite a story, because if you look at it, just try to all the things that you can think about the story, there was dysfunction in the family. I wouldn't want my family actually running the way the family was run. But it was the nature of it, I guess, at the time. You know, there was a different, had a variety of different mothers involved, probably four, I think, of another. This was the Joseph and his brothers. And, you know, the last two brothers, Joseph and Benjamin, was the favorites, because it came from the wife that was the favorite. And so Dad had a favoritism towards Joseph, and Benjamin was the youngest. And there was you know, all that stuff isn't good. It would have been a lot better off, and always is, if God helps us with those kind of things. We can look at it as a foresight. Bible don't even talk about it as being that way, but we look at it and say, well, it's no wonder that they wanted to they had such a contention and that kind of stuff in their life. By the way that was all set up, if you can imagine that anyway, I know the system's a lot different than that, but that all started out kind of in a bad way to start with. I mean, you end up with a wife that you didn't like. I wonder how she really felt all the years. I mean, honestly, I mean, he ends up with sisters, right? I mean, but the one was very beautiful, and he was very taken by her, and he went up to her, and he wanted her, but he ends up with the other one, and the other one wasn't. How would you feel about that? That was pretty, I mean, these things create emotional baggage. I mean, how else are you going to feel? You know what? You're going to have the Lord. I was talking to a young lady, and I know the family, and I talked with the family and all, and the mother had been real sick. We prayed for her quite a bit. She had had heart problems and all. They live in Pakistan, and she had enough heart problems. She really was looking bad at times and all. And so one morning, I get a video call, and it was this family. It was two young women. They're up 19, 20s like that, and one 14-year-old boy and then a 20-some-year-old boy, and they were all on the call weeping. I mean, weeping. They were sobbing, just bawling and all. They was, and I pray with them a lot and talk with them a lot, and we're very friendly. And they was just pouring out, and I can't hear well anyway. And then there was a heavy accent. They don't speak English very well, and so I didn't know what. And I thought, oh, Maria's died. I just, you know, that would be awful. And so I said, no, you need to message me. Just go back to message me so I know what you're talking about. So they messaged me. And what actually happened was that they had taken in the night before this woman that had come through that needed all help. So they took her in and fed her and gave her a place to sleep. Well, when the woman got up the next day, she stole the girl's phone. Now, they was on this old phone that one of the brothers had to get a hold of me, but the new phone, good phone that they had to contact people with, she had stole it. And the whole family was just weeping and crying. You have to realize things are different in other places than what it is for us. That was a monumental big deal. They were weeping and crying. And I ended up trying to calm them and stuff, and finally the girl would say, why would she do wicked to us when we were so good to her? Does that sound familiar to you anywhere? Is there any other thing that you can relate being done, somebody that was done bad for doing good? Yeah, I mean, is there? It was a perfect opening for me to say, God's allowing you to feel what he felt. Jesus was, he done nothing but good. Their heart to take in this woman, feed her. They don't have hardly anything. A lot of days they don't eat because they don't have food. I know one time it was 3 days and they hadn't eaten because they don't have food. But if somebody comes by, they share with them. They done this to this woman. And she gets up and steals the phone and I want to tell you, that was really hard on them. And I told them, Jesus was done that way. I know this is going to be hard, but you need to forgive her. You know what the response was? I know, but how can I?
get it. I get it. I don't feel forgiving. This is detrimental. This is harm. This is hurtful. I said, you have to for you. You have to. The Lord knows. The Lord, I said, do you think the Lord saw this woman do that? The answer was yes. Do you know that she, do you think, no, the Lord knew this beforehand? Yes. Do you believe that the Lord can provide back for you? Yes. Forgive her. Don't carry the baggage. Can a woman come in and steal from you and control that much of your life? The fact of it is we can't allow it. We can allow things that shouldn't matter that much control our life. So I said, you know, forgive her. Forgive her. I said, I'll be honest with you, I feel sorry for this woman because I know what this woman was thinking. The woman probably, the way they described her, probably can't even run the phone. The woman's desperate to survive. It's an awful place to live. People are starving to death over there. They have almost no opportunity to do anything. If you put me in West Virginia and try to starve me to death, I'm not going to be fat, but there's a lot of stuff I can eat. I can go out in the yard and eat stuff. I got plant life everywhere to eat. There's places to hunt. There's things for me to turn over a rock and get stuff. I can eat. I can get the bark out from under the trees and eat. These people don't have any other options to eat. They can't go get anything. It's not that kind of a place. You know, I know why she took the phone. She's trying to survive. And I told her, I said, she's trying to survive like you are. I don't say it's right. It's wrong. It's wrong. But I said, I feel sorry for her. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for this poor woman. She stole that phone so she could go sell it so that she could try to survive like you are trying to survive. Well, I defended the evil of it. It's wrong. But we can carry baggage around too about what I should do. We'll beat ourselves up sometimes. I'm sure that they thought they should have hid the phone. They should have been sleeping on it, had it under their pillow, or all these things because it was such a big deal to them. So there's a story of Joseph. Joseph was in a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional place. You know the story? Was it really Joseph's fault that he was favored? How do you make somebody not favor you? I mean, I don't know. It was a situation that was out of his control. Joseph didn't decide one day, you know, I'm going to go get some books and go on the internet and Google and find out how you can interpret dreams and I'm going to get good at this. Joseph had nothing to do with his ability to interpret anything. God gave it to him. God made Joseph the way he was and gave him the abilities that he had. It was historically known that Joseph was a very good-looking young man. I don't know all the scriptures that would bear that out, but if you read anything that's written about Joseph, he was a very good-looking. It does seem to be that way with the way his life went, but he was very, very good. He didn't do that either. Maybe one of his brothers was really ugly. I don't know, but he was good-looking, but he didn't do it. None of those things happen. Got to face it the way it really is. So Joseph's in this situation, and his brother's doing wrong. I'm going to assume that Joseph was as human as most people is. And I'm assuming that there was going to be a devil on his shoulder too. That probably said, I get a chance, I'm going to get back at him. Maybe when he was at the bottom of that well, or maybe when he hit, he gritted his teeth and think, I'll get out of here now, I'd show him. I know God's got grace to keep us in the fiery furnace. When those temptations come, I know I've been there. No, I will not do that. God's got grace to that. But God's also got grace to keep the smell of smoke off of you. It don't have to be on there. He can keep that from there. Well, you know the story of Joseph. They would have killed him, I think, if it wasn't for Reuben that said no. I think their desire was, no, we'll do this. And they ended up selling him into slavery, thinking this was the best thing to do. So they sold him and off. And now we've gone with him and go and lie to dad and tell him that. Bring grief and heartache to that. And Joseph now is on a journey. But God was in it, wasn't he? I mean, it was like I told the young girl over there in Pakistan. Did God, you don't have to say God saw that. God knew I would throw me in here. God could have kept me from being in that caravan going down to Egypt. God's been doing something in our lives, folks. We got to look above the human things that happen in life and say, God's in something here. God's trying to teach me something here. Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? Has this person done me bad? But what was you doing with it? How did you set it up? You know, if you pay a lot of attention, a lot of times God will put little things in there to prove that it was him. So that God's doing something in here. Well, we know the story of Joseph. God did have a plan for Joseph. But there come a day that here comes his brothers. Boy, would that be fun. That would have been fun. They didn't know it. He knows it. Man, this is going to be fun. Boy, I'd love that. You know, that goes right down my alley. Boy, that would have been fun. But you know what was amazing? Joseph didn't have the smell of smoke on him. What would most people do? Honestly. Even down to say, what have I done with similar situations? How have I handled certain things? It's almost like, I know the Lord wants me to forgive these people, but I'm going to see how much blood I can get out of them before I totally do. I'm going to at least make them feel as poor as I can before I do. Joseph didn't have no smell of smoke on him. When it got through, he said, you meant it for evil. But he transcended it. He hugged them and kissed them. He didn't have no smell of smoke on him. Because he said, God had a plan that's bigger. I think the smell of smoke interferes with God's plan. I think it'll interfere with the plan that God wants to totally do. God wants to show the world that he's real. He wants to be able to prove through us that he's God. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego probably wasn't even thinking about the smoke. It was the fire that you wanted to avoid. That's what's going to burn me up. That's what's going to kill me. That's what's going to do it. But that smoke's going to tell you that you was in there. That smoke's going to, it's still going to linger there and make sure that it's known and all that. No, the Lord even didn't put the smell of smoke on him. Well, in the story of Joseph, he didn't have the smell of smoke on him either. He allowed the Lord to work in his life enough until he saw that God had a purpose to deliver the people to his family. God had a bigger purpose. God has a bigger purpose in our lives too. And you can, like I did with the dairy barn, you can think that you sidestep everything and you don't get it. But I'm going to tell you, being there is enough sometimes. There's emotional struggles sometimes. There's things that happen sometimes. And if we're not careful, we pick that up and we'll pack that in our emotions. And we'll allow it to affect our relationships with people. We'll allow it to affect the image that we present to the world of what Christ is. Lord, help us. Lord wants us to show his full image in all of these things. There was another incident that is... I'll say fascinating to me. There was a brother in the New Testament. His name was Stephen. And the scripture says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he stands up and starts boldly. I'm going to tell you, if you want to read that over in Acts, he didn't short a moment. He let him have it. And he preached to them. And I use that a lot of times when somebody says, I don't think that preacher should have said that. Well, you need to go read what Stephen said. don't put the Holy Ghost in a box. Because you read what Stephen said. Well, it hurt people's feelings. Well, the Holy Ghost will hurt your feelings then. Because Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And he riled them people up. So I back off of the time. That preacher should have said that. That hurt these people's feelings. Or there were certain people there who knew this. Okay. Go read that about Stephen, though. And then we'll at least say, okay. Well, maybe the Holy Ghost wouldn't do that. We'll just have to let it go. But Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And he preached to them. And he told them, like your fathers, you stoned the prophets. All this. And then they started gritting their teeth. They started getting the stones. And they started throwing stones. It'd be real easy to throw one back. But easier yet would it be to say, you'll get yours. When you end up burning in hell, you remember you throw these stones at me. I smell some smoke. I smell some influence from the wrong place. It's very human. We're all human. We all pick up those things. We all don't. Nobody wants to be hurt. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be run down. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want you to make me feel less than I want to feel. But they started throwing stones at Stephen. And Stephen rose above it. But I smell no smoke here. They couldn't change it. Couldn't change what he was. So instead of him saying that, I think Stephen knew that his time had come. I think he knew what was happening. And he said not to lay it to their charge. He sincerely wasn't you'll get yours in hell. You know, I've heard the Christian comment like that before. I've heard the comment that relished the idea that an evil person was going to end up in hell. I think you ought to look at the gauges on that one and see if that ain't some smoke. Because the fact of it is, if we're gonna do that to people that done evil, then here I go too. I'm counting on God's grace. God's mercy, and it's available to them too. God, give it to them. May they find it, no matter what they are. It's my prayer. I've told it before. The guy up home, sometime I had this little incident that happened. I saw the Lord in it. I know the Lord was in it, but the guy ended up having a gun up to my head. He was gritting, I'm going to blow your head off, and ended up hitting me in the head with the gun and tried to hit. I mean, he was hitting me with his fist. He was so angry, and he was out of control, and he was doing all that. You know, God gave me right there in the fire. God gave me such grace. Right in the fire, I didn't burn. But the devil wanted to smoke on me. I didn't have much problem at all until that night traveling to Alabama. Middle of the night, nobody to talk to. Nothing to do. My mind started saying everything you do. Devil started speaking to me, and boy, I started in a battle. I had to pray my way through that. And my prayer was, Lord, save him. I want to tell you, Lord, have mercy. And if that incident is the only thing that keeps him out of heaven, Lord, forgive him for it. But it was a battle. I got victory over that several times. Hey, you do what you have to do. I haven't dealt with the issue for a long time, but I had to get victory over that a number of times because I'm an emotional person, and that was so violating, and I felt the violation. Stephen felt the violation. These people were stoning him to death. He told them the truth. Why do you think he told them the truth? If you don't care about somebody, just get away and let them go. No, he told them the truth because God sent him there with these love. They need to know the truth. Perhaps somebody will make a difference. Perhaps somebody that even's carrying the clothes. Maybe there's somebody there that's holding the clothes of the one that stoned them that will look back on that and they'll be responsible for the salvation of a whole generation of people. And when he looks at it, he's going to say, I know what God was because there was a man that I helped destroy him.
that said, "Don't forget, or don't lay this to the charge." It's a testimony, isn't it? Isn't it a wonderful testimony that we can say of Jesus that he looked down from the cross and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do." When we have anything else in the remnants of our battles, except for the love of God, we have the smell of smoke on us. God wants to give us a total victory in that till we come out of there still doing the will of God. Yes, they hurt me. Yes, they run me down. But I'm going to tell them Jesus loves them. They need to be saved. Lord, give us better victory than we've had before. Give us a stronger desire for the things of God. That instead of me partially doing it, I don't want to be critical about this, but I've learned something. I thought I knew something, but I didn't know it. I had this idea that we live in this prosperous, we do. We live in such a prosperous time and place, folks. And I thought that places that don't have what we have, the Christianity must be sharper and clearer and more faith. And I've been dealing with people in that position for quite a while. And poverty does not make faith at all. The people that I'm dealing with, I mean, constantly encourage them to trust God. They have the basis of religion, but they don't have any essence of faith in God. And I thought, how could that be? They don't eat for 3 days. How could you not turn to God? They turn to everything but God sometimes. They do. Trust God. God can help you. All this, I'm just continuing. Where's your faith? God can help you with this. There was a guy that recently commented to me. I was shocked by it. He lives in India. And he wrote me a message and wanted me to pray for him. He was asking for support too, but for his mother. And he said that the doctors told him that the only way that God was going to be able to heal his mother if they was able to get this medicine to her. And I text back and said, what? You're limiting God? The only way God's going to heal them is through this? Brother, this is a God of the universe. This is a God of all things. If God don't want that healed, I'm not going to go to the Bible. God can do in his world what he wants to do. But I'll say this, he ain't limited by that or anything else. And not only that, that ain't going to work if God don't want it to. God will pull her out when he's ready to. I told her, brother, have faith in God. Where is your faith in God? God didn't tell us all that. God wants us to believe in him. The fact is, your mother's going to go out of here sometime at God's hand. But we need to have faith in God. I say the same thing for this. If we'll keep a smell of smoke off us, we're going to be with the faith of God. Lord, I know that where I'm not big enough to do these things that emotionally touch me and is my life and that have hurt me in the past and things that I'm a certain way in, God helps us to overcome those things. I realize that sometimes, make myself vulnerable. I come to the point in my life one time, wasn't always imperfect with it, but I come to the realization one time the Lord helped me to understand this, that I never did like myself very much as growing up. Underneath, there was a lot of things about me I didn't like about myself. And so when it come down to it, anything that somebody done, my conclusion inside was, well, they don't like me very much. Well, it wasn't true, but I didn't like me, so why would they? And so, and really started showing up in marriages. Now when my wife would do a certain thing, it's because she don't like me. Well, why not? I don't like myself. Never liked myself. When the Lord brought that to my attention, this is what's under, this is what, you got some smoke. You got some emotional stuff from things that happened to you in your life. Picked on a lot because I was orange-haired, freckle-faced. I started high school, weighed 87 pounds or something.
I was skinny, small, perfect to pick on. And I was picked on, and I didn't like myself. And so after that, after I grew out of that, I'm obviously not that way now. I'm not that freckled. My hair is grayer. Things have changed tremendously in my life. I'm not a little skinny guy. If I fight anyway, it's the other way. So all of these things in my life are completely changed, but there was still a small smoke on it. You understand what I'm saying? It's some of the things of it that was left there. And I responded in kind to those things until the Lord come and help me to understand, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. People don't do that because they dislike you. And if they do, it's okay. There's something bigger. And so I want to encourage us today that we're going to have those fiery furnace times. And God wants to deliver us all the way down till there's no emotional smoke left. You don't come out of that saying, I survived it and the Lord spared me and all of that. And then behind there is I really don't like that brother very much for that. Or I'm just going to stay away, or I'm not going to build a relationship, or I'm not going to do any of that thing. The Lord wants to heal it all the way down till there isn't even a smell of smoke left, and make us totally functional people. The world is dysfunctional. They don't know how to get along with one another. Marriage is what it is because the world don't know how to do it. Men ain't taught it. Women ain't taught it. It's all just a facade. And they're not taught that. They're not enough healing with them to have an emotional relationship because of all of the things. But the Lord wants for us, He wants to heal all of that. And I believe it's like the story of Joseph at the end of it. In every one of these things, we ought to remember God is on His throne. God sees. God knows. He won't let anything into my life that isn't good for my life. So I'm going to trust the Lord that this is right for my life. You may be a player in my life, but it's God, the one that's ordering it. You may be something in there at some point in time. And I want to say something else about the emotional responses. And I remember this particular, so I'm going to mention it, and I don't think she'd mind. Because mentioning names ain't always good. I went to Guthrie one time, and Guthrie's always been this place that I go to with a little reservation. And, well, it's basically, it used to be in the wintertime, but I'd go with a little reservation. But when I would get there, it would be like glory would fall. I just loved being there. It was like the saints are here, and it would be so encouraging. Well, I've always been really, over the years, I've been really close with Brother Lauren and Sister Maxine. And I went up to Sister Maxine the first night of the meeting, and I was trying to talk to her, and she was kind of distant. She was kind of distant. And I never really got through to her. So it kind of ended, and I was like, well, what was that? Must be something. Something's going on. Now, come on, guys. You know it happens to more than just me. Something's going on. Something happened. I wonder what she's heard. And all these kind of things. Well, it was just there. You know, I found out just a day later, she was really going through something. Of course, I didn't know that. So it seemed to me like she almost snubbed me, maybe. But she didn't want to be around me or anything like that. She was actually going through a very hard time. And when I found that out, she didn't dislike me. Well, she must not like me. Boy, she did it to me. What was that? I just told that story for this message. We need to be healed. We need the Lord to keep the smell of smoke off of us in these things, because if we don't, those kind of things are so disruptive. Instead of saying, oh, poor sister, let's pray for her. And sincerely, to the best, we begin to build these things. And then you never know where they'll go. But the Lord can heal us and help us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.